Well, the title of today's message is School is in Session. What are we learning? Now, for some of us, school was a little ways ago. For some, school is a very real, imminent thing right now. And we have begun a new semester. Now, I say we is the royal we. I'm not in school, and I'm praising God that I'm not in school anymore. I enjoyed school when I was there, but I don't necessarily miss the papers. I may miss the professors, but I don't miss the papers. Don't miss the exams. I mean, I don't know. Can I get it like an amen or something? Okay, good. Yes, perfect. But school is in session. What are we learning? You know, we went, and I would be embarrassed to say how much probably I've forgotten versus how much I've retained over, I don't know, close to 20 years of school. Between kindergarten and elementary and junior high and high school and university and going on after that, it's amazing the things that you work towards. And we have students right now in our very own church that are experiencing school for the first time. They're excited because it's the first days of kindergarten maybe or preschool. We have students that are getting ready to go into, they've begun the journey of junior high, of middle school. We have students that are getting ready, like Mr. Tobes back there, getting ready to graduate in June. We have students on all different kinds of levels right in our own church family. And they're eagerly learning, right, Tobes? Good, excellent. I like that. That was a very enthusiastic answer. They're eagerly learning because, you know, the things that they're learning, we know from looking back, they're going to prepare them. Now, they may not know what geography or what geometry or what any of that has to do with real life, but it does. It's going to prepare them for what they need for life ahead. They're going to school so that they can succeed in the world around them, right? And they're not just going to school just so they can be a seat in a classroom, just so they can do just enough to get a diploma. We are hoping to encourage them. We're hoping to, maybe exhort them at times to be more than just a bump on a log in that classroom, right? Because we know the things that they're going to get will help equip them. Those university students all around us that are starting the semester, university and college students that are trying to get training for school, trying to get training for a future career, they're there because they know this will help them. Well, I've been asking kids as they've been going back to school, you know, hey, how's school going? And I've gotten some pretty amazing responses, you know. I've gotten everything from, I mean, just can hardly contain the excitement, you know, just vibrating with excitement. Like, you know, little Amy is just having a great time in preschool, you know. We need to pray for Amy that excitement doesn't go away, right? I've talked with some that have said, hey, how was the first week of school? And they can barely lift their head up off their hand as they sit and do the sound today. They're exhausted, right? Like, oh man, the schedule's killing me. I've talked to some, like my niece, who started school this year in a brand new place. And I said, so, Avery, how's it going? She said, it's great. It's just like Sunday school without the Bible story. Perfect. I love it. You know, school's in session. What are we learning? You know, we ask kids all the time, right? And now, we don't ask Theron yet because he's one. But I remember getting asked when I was growing up, getting in mom's station wagon when she would pick us up from school. It was a yellow station wagon with wood paneling. It was a sweet machine, right? None of us ducked our heads when we were getting into that beast, hey? But she would ask us, what'd you learn today? Oh, nothing. Really? Glad it was an effective day. No, you were learning something. And then mom and dad's job was to help you apply that knowledge, right? To help you apply it to your homework, to help you see how it might be used in life. Well, when we come here to this place, I'm not saying school is in session today. But school is in session in life in general. We may not go to class every day. We may not have a professor or a teacher or instructor that prepares notes for us every day. But as we look into God's Word today, not only are kids in school, but really, Southwinds Church, school is literally in session for us. That life is a series of lessons. I mean, is that right? Life is a series of lessons that we need to learn. And we are always learning how to, I hope we're always learning how to trust God in the midst of those lessons. Learning how to trust God in the midst of those circumstances. And so when we say school is in session, what are we learning? I am talking about us. What are we learning? And I want to hear from the kids what they're learning down the hall when they come here afterwards and they grab their cookie or they grab their little cup of water. What'd you learn today? When they come home from school, you want to know what they've learned today. I'm telling you, I think the same goes for Heavenly Father. He says, I want to teach you something today, but I want you to learn it. I don't want you just to be able to regurgitate something back to me. I want you to learn it. Store it in your heart and use it. I am equipping you to use these things that I'm teaching you to go throughout life. Okay, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1 to start. We're going to be in a couple of different books today, but Joshua chapter 1, if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn there, it's not very far from the beginning of the Bible. Joshua chapter 1. School is in session. What are we learning? When we come here on Sunday mornings, I pray that that's part of our goal, is to learn something new about God. Even if it's not something, if it's not new information for us, say, God, what's another way I can apply this truth? Heard this truth, but what kind of difference is it going to make in my life? Because I'll be honest with you, South Winds, that's sometimes where I can struggle, is to say, God, what, I know this truth. I know this truth like the back of my hand here, but it's different than knowing that truth here. It's different than knowing, God, you tell me that we looked at a few weeks ago, that you will never leave me or forsake me. Last week when Dr. Rob Blackaby was here, and I'm so grateful he was here, I missed being with you last week, but we've been sending a few teams every week for the last couple weeks, including this week, a couple of our worship teams to go over and help Southwinds Mahogany as their worship leaders are on holidays. Everybody needs a holiday, right? So they're on holidays, so we've been sending worship teams over, and I got to go and sit in the nursery at Southwinds Mahogany last week and just be with the babies for an hour, and it was good, but I missed you. But what Dr. Blackaby talked about last week was the power of words. And now words can, they can bring healing, or words can, man, they can tear us down. God wants us to be learning the fact that words have power. Learn how to use those words. He wants us to be learning the fact of what we're going to look at here in Joshua, the fact that he really is with us, and that we can go forth with great courage, because not only is he instructing us, but he's given us maybe others in our life that can help us out, and we can remember the things that they've taught us. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, Moses was the leader of God's people. He was the leader that God appointed for the nation of Israel, God's people. Moses had led them out of slavery, okay? The people of God had been enslaved in Egypt. God raised up a leader in Moses to bring them out of that. They went through things like God parting a sea. It's called the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites walked through it on dry ground, and then when the Egyptian soldiers who were pursuing them tried to follow them through that gap in the sea, God caused the waves to come crashing down on them, and he routed them. Provided safety, but then they went into a wilderness. And Moses went up on a mountain, and he got these things that we've called the Ten Commandments. You familiar with the Ten Commandments? And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments, by the way. He got quite a few other laws and quite a few other things from God as well that God inscribed, the scripture tells us in Exodus, God inscribed with his very own finger on those tablets. But the people of God were rebellious. And when Moses came down from that mountain where he was meeting with God and his face radiant, glowing, people had made an idol. They said, we can't see God. We can't see our leader anymore. We got to see something. We want to worship something. So Aaron, who stepped up in Moses' place when he wasn't there, said, bring me your gold and I'll make you a calf. And the people worshiped a calf. And Moses got angry because he knew they were betraying God. And he smashed the tablets. God gave him a new set eventually, but he smashed the tablets. And the people of God continued to forget how God saved them, how God brought them out of slavery. The wonderful things that God did, they continue to forget it. And God ultimately had to discipline them. And he sent them into a desert for 40 years, and he provided manna from heaven. You know what the manna was like? It was like dew in the morning, and then it dried up, and it made like flakes of bread. And they would go out every day, and they would gather these flakes, and they ate the same thing every day. Do you know for how long? 40 years. Ate the same thing every day for 40 years. Now, we live in a very affluent culture. We don't have to eat this. I mean, one, we get to eat every day. Two, we don't have to eat the same thing every day. Unless maybe you're 3 or 4 years old and all you'll eat is peanut butter toast, right? But these guys ate the same thing every day, and as a reminder that God was providing for them in the midst of the wilderness. Well, God is getting ready to take his people into a land that he's promised them, and he says it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It means it's a prosperous land. He's getting ready to do that. The leader that he rose up in Moses has passed away. He never got to see the promised land, but he faithfully led, and he faithfully taught God's word. He faithfully taught the things of God all through the wilderness. And we come up to now the new leader is taking over. After the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads. Just as I promised Moses, your territory will be from the wilderness in Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." These are the words of God to his new leader, this one who has already, Joshua has served God faithfully under the leadership of Moses, and now Moses has passed away, and God says, "Joshua, now is your time. I've been preparing you, I've been molding you and shaping you under the leadership of Moses. Now I'm going to use you." God had already been using Joshua, but God wanted to lead through Joshua. Do you know, I find it interesting that God said, "Go, be courageous, have courage, don't worry, I'm with you. No matter where you go, I'm with you." And God didn't just say, "I'm just with you," but God said, "Look, you know all those things you've been hearing Moses teach for all these years? You know all those things that I inscribed for Moses to teach you guys?" He says, "Study it. Use it. Go over it day and night. Don't let it depart from your mind. Don't let it come out of your mouth just by instinct." He said, "Recite it, recite it, recite it. Not just so that you can fill your head with this stuff, but Joshua, you're about to go into something that's gonna take great courage. I'm not just telling you to be courageous just so because it's cool to say. But what I'm about to do through you is going to take great courage. And I need you to remember all those things that Moses taught you. I need you to go over them and over them and over them. I need you to use the things that I've given you to help you through this time. I am with you. I am with you always. I'll never leave you." He says, "Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go." You know, Joshua knew. He knew that it was going to take great courage. One, have you ever thought about leading thousands and thousands and thousands of people? Can you imagine? I can't imagine. Joshua is about to assume this place of leadership where what he says and the direction that he says we are going to go, and he's about to go on. If you read into Joshua chapter 1, he says, all right, God's given me an assignment. Everybody gather up your things and take supplies, because in 3 days' time, we're leaving and we're going to cross the Jordan River. Finally, we're going to cross over. We're going to start moving west, and we're going to take possession of this land that God's given us. And you know, Joshua had some kind of insider information, because he happened to know that that land not only was full of prosperous things, full of these massive, massive grapevines, land flowing with milk and honey, but it was full of big, big, big people. People that were very powerful, people that were very strong, and people that weren't averse to fighting. Joshua was going to need courage. He knew some of the things. He didn't know everything, but he had an idea of some of the things that were going to be facing him. And that if he was going to lead these thousands of people, he needed to be able to trust God, because if he made the wrong decision, he could likely be leading thousands of people to their slaughter. Joshua needed courage, and he needed instruction, and God provided it. And God didn't want him to just recite it. He says, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Now, I want to remind us of something that Moses said, actually. Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, when the people had gone into the wilderness and they had manna, they had eaten the manna, and they had seen God provide for water in the desert. They had seen God bring forth water from Moses just striking a rock with his staff. They saw these amazing things. Here's what Moses said. He's encouraging the people to remember the Lord. Remember what God has done for you. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, because he brought the manna when the people had gotten to the point of saying, we haven't eaten anything. We haven't had water in 3 days. Moses, we're hungry. Hundreds of thousands of people saying, we're hungry, feed us. No big deal. Hundreds of thousands of people saying, we're hungry, feed us. And Moses doesn't say, well, remember how I, he says, remember what God did. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, that comes from the mouth of God. God is the one that you can trust. God is the one that's going to lead you. God is the one that's going to fill your belly as well as your heart. He's the one that's going to do it. Sometimes I fall prey to that thought of, you know, things are getting hard in life, so I just need to try harder. Right? You ever heard that term, pull yourself up by your bootstraps? We just got to try harder. You just got to block all that stuff out and just put your head down and make it happen. You know, there's something to be said for trying harder. That's good. A good work ethic is a good thing. But there's so much more to be said to say, God, I'm facing these circumstances that I don't know what to do. But God, I know that you say that I'm supposed to meditate on your word, that I'm supposed to recite it, and that you tell me that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from you. So God, that's where my hope has got to come from. That's what my trust has got to be in. And Moses wasn't the only one that used that. Let's hop forward to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is in the wilderness. He's gone to be with God. And when we say wilderness, like this is a wild place. Rachel, my wife, and I had the opportunity to go to Israel and stand and look out on the place that they believe was called the wilderness. I'm telling you today, it's hills and rocks and a few shrubs. And that's it. As far as you can see, it's hills covered with rocks, dust, and a few tiny little shrubs. This is where Jesus was for 40 days. And he was there without food. And it says, we're going to look in particular at verse 4, but let me read you. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? Remember, as far as you can see, hills with boulders and sharp and jagged rocks. Dust. Hot. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You think? Jesus was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But Jesus knew, okay, God, this is a lesson for me to be depending on you, my heavenly Father. Guess what verse Jesus used? Same thing that God gave Moses a long time before that. But he answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Southwinds, when we look at a scripture, when we look at Joshua chapter 1, when we look at Deuteronomy 8:3, when we look at Matthew 4:4, these aren't just good things to listen to on a Sunday morning. These are vital things that are going to help us through life. These are things that our prayer every week as we come and we prepare the songs that we're going to sing and we prepare the message that is going to be given through God's word, our prayer every week is to say, God, would you use this to make it practical in our lives? Would you use this to remind me that when I'm going through, whether it's the mundane things of life or whether it's when I'm going through hard times in life, even when I'm celebrating, to remember, God, I do not live on bread alone, but I live on every word that comes from your mouth. Because if we'll remember those things, I think that's what's going to help us not turn to other things to satisfy. I think that's what's going to help us not depend so much, whether it's on our spouse, on our parent, whether it depends so much on material things, depends so much on substance, that if I have had a hard day, I don't just have to have that glass of wine or have to have that cocktail in the evening, which I don't, by the way. I don't have to have it. There may not be anything wrong with having one, but I don't have to have it because God is enough. Do you get where I'm going with that? I don't have to have it. When we're faced with the hard decisions in life, anybody here been faced with a hard decision in life? Tough things to decide? Never, right? Okay, good. Carl, I'm glad that you've never, that's good. No, right? Like there's laughter because it's like, man, life sometimes is just hard. We're all faced with hard decisions. We're all faced with times where we say, honestly, God, I don't know what to do, but you tell me. I don't live on bread alone. That means it's not just the substances of this world that sustain me. But God, it's on every word that comes from your mouth. And so God, I want to realize that school is in session and I want to be learning from you. I want to know your word. I want to know that you say, that you tell me in Psalm 119:11 that if I hide your word in my heart, that it'll help me not sin against you. That when just like Jesus was tempted here in the desert, that when I'm tempted to look to something else to satisfy me, that if I'll hide your word in my heart, that you'll bring up that word and help me remember that say, no. That's not what satisfies me. Running away from something is not what's going to make it go away. But God, you are the one that's going to satisfy. You are the one that's going to fill the hole, to fill the void. We've got to remember. School is in session. What are we learning? And if you're here and you're a visitor with us, we just want you to know that we do this every week. We sing songs to God. We look into God's word. And we're going to go further into some more of those practical messages of God. Okay, you tell us to live by your word. We're going to go in the weeks ahead to look at practically what does that mean? How do I do that? We may not be able to give a step-by-step instruction, A plus B equals C every time, but we know where our hope comes from. And we know where our supply comes from. It comes from God and God alone, and it comes from every word that's uttered from his mouth. Our worship team is going to come up and lead us in one last song. This is our song of response that we do this each week to say, God, we want to respond to what you're saying to us. And God, so that God, when I'm faced with the tough choices in life, that I can respond in faith. So that God, when I'm rocking along and things are going pretty good, so that I can still trust you. So that God, that whatever it is that when I want to replace you with something else, when I want something else to fulfill me that's besides you, there's nothing wrong with enjoying things in this life. I really enjoy hunting. I love being out in the bush. I don't think it's evil because when I don't use it to replace something that God wants to do in my heart. I love spending time with my family, but I can't even use that to replace something that God wants to do in my heart. He wants to sustain me. He allows us to enjoy lots of things in this world, but he wants to sustain us and strengthen us. Let's respond as we sing.